Welcome to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. Join us to learn simple, accessible ways that the seasons, moon phases, and astrology can help you finally create a spiritual self-care practice you can be consistent with. I'm your host, Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow. I'm a practicing witch, a certified astrologer, and a published author, and I'm on a mission to help modern witches like you nourish your mind, body, and intuition so you can be your most magical self. All day, every day. Hello and welcome back. I am really excited because this is our season finale of season 4 of the Empowered Modern Witches Show. I can't believe that we have already come to the end of another season. So many incredible episodes this season. Definitely go back and listen to some of our great guest episodes, our seasonal episodes. We will be taking a summer break after this, and we'll be back in the early fall. But to close this out for season 4, I wanted to do a high-level overview of the moon phases. So the moon, I find, is something that is almost kind of like a gateway for a lot of us to astrology, to magic, to witchcraft. So many of us just feel so drawn to the moon, so fascinated by the moon phases. I can certainly say that has always been true for me, even when I was a little kid. So in today's episode, I want to give you a high-level overview of what are the moon phases, a few different things to know about working with the moon at different points in the year, and in relation to your own astrological chart, okay? So depending on what areas you're most interested in, we're going to cover a lot of ground in this episode. But definitely feel free to reach out, send me a message, send me an email. If anything in this episode really calls to you and you would love me to do a deeper dive episode, because of course we will be planning the season 5 episodes soon as well. So let's just go straight into it. So you'll often see online and in books and things that there are 4, 8, or 9 phases of the moon. So which is accurate? The truth is they're all accurate. Okay. So we can break the moon cycle down as far as 9 individual phases. I typically tend to work with just the 4 primary phases though, because if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you know that I think the more simple something is, the more potent it is. So I really, really like to work with just the 4 main moon phases, which is what we're going to cover here. But with the caveat that sometimes I do like to add in a 5th phase. So we'll talk about that in a moment. So what are the 4 main phases? So the 4 main phases are the new moon, the waxing moon, the full moon, and the waning moon. And the reason why a lot of people work with more than just these 4 is because the waxing and waning moons can be broken down into 3 individual phases within each of them, which gives us 3 waxing, 3 waning, new, and full for a total of 8 phases. But you can really just work with the energy of the waxing moon in general, the waning moon in general, instead of breaking it down quite so far, if that feels good for you. So let's go through the full moon cycle. So the moon cycle starts with, of course, the new moon. So the new moon is when the moon is completely dark in the sky. And this is when the sun and the moon are exactly aligned, okay? So the moon does not give off any of its own light. It only reflects the sun's light. And so the only way for us to have a new moon when we can't see the moon at all is for the sun and the moon to be exactly lined up so that the sun isn't shining on the face of the moon whatsoever. And the only way for this to happen from an astrological perspective is for the sun and moon to be at the same degree of the same zodiac sign.
Okay.
So the sun spends about a month in every sign each year. And the moon spends about 2.5 days in each sign every month. So the moon moves much, much more quickly than the sun does around the zodiac. And so as the sun moves along, it meets up with the moon in certain relationships, certain aspects each month. So the new moon is when the sun and the moon are exactly lined up in the same sign. Now the new moon is, of course, it's all about newness, right? It's all about fresh starts and beginnings. The new moon is where we set our intentions for the month ahead. Now, you can also set your intentions for the 6 months ahead or the year ahead if you have something longer term that you want to work with or manifest. So you can set your intentions for the next month until the next new moon. You can set your intentions for the next 6 months between the new moon in this zodiac sign and the full moon in that same zodiac sign, which will be 6 months later. So like at the new moon in Sagittarius, you might set intentions for the next 6 months until the full moon in Sagittarius, for example. Or you could set them for the whole year ahead, right? And say, okay, it's the new moon in Taurus and setting intentions for the next year until we have a new moon in Taurus again next spring. So we set intentions, we get this fresh start every month, right? Whether that's setting completely new intentions or just refreshing our energy. And the new moon phase is associated with the element of air. It's very much about this like reflection process and really thinking about what our plans are going to be. Then we have the waxing moon phase. So the waxing moon lasts for about 2 weeks between the new and the full moon, when the moon appears to be getting larger and larger in the sky. And the waxing moon is as the moon moves forward around the zodiac ahead of the sun. So if we had a new moon in Aries, then the waxing moon would be in Taurus, in Gemini, in Cancer, right? It's moving forward ahead through the zodiac. And so the waxing moon, it's getting closer and closer to being in opposition to the sun. So the sun is shining on more and more of the face of the moon over those 2 weeks. And the waxing moon is when we are taking action on the intentions we have set at the new moon. Which is why the waxing moon is associated with the energy of fire, right? It's about action and passion and really going out and doing what we need to do. Now, the other interesting thing about the waxing moon, right, as I mentioned at the beginning, is we can break it down further if you want to. So if the waxing moon feels too long for you, if that 2 weeks feels like too much to get your head around, you might want to work with those smaller phases. So the smaller phases of the waxing moon are the waxing crescent, when it's just a little sliver after the new moon, the waxing quarter or the first quarter moon, which is when it's a half, and then the waxing gibbous moon, which is when it's kind of a little blobby shape before it's completely full. Okay. Then, of course, we have the full moon, everyone's favorite. So the full moon is when, of course, the entire face of the moon is illuminated. And this is the only way this can happen is for the sun and the moon to be in exact opposition to one another. So just as the new moon can only happen when the sun and moon are at the same degree of the same zodiac sign, the full moon can only happen when the sun and moon are at the same degree of opposite zodiac signs. So if the sun is in Gemini, then we know that sometime during that month, we're going to have a full moon in Sagittarius because Gemini and Sagittarius are opposites, for example. And so the full moon is really about celebration. It's a culmination of everything we've accomplished over the last 2 weeks. And so the full moon is a really good time for ritual. It's a great time for gratitude. It's a good time to really practice self-care and connecting with your intuition. The full moon is associated with the water element. So it's very much about emotion and intuition. It's about connecting with the spiritual sides of ourselves. And then after the full moon, we move into the waning moon. And this is when the moon appears to be getting smaller and smaller in the sky as we move from the full moon back to the new moon. And so the waning moon, again, lasts about 2 weeks. And this is when the moon is moving back through the zodiac, back towards the sun. Now, the sun is also moving forward, but much more slowly. So by the time the moon reaches the sun again to have another new moon, they'll be in the next zodiac sign. So if the last new moon was in Gemini, the sun moves slowly forward into Cancer. And the moon moves all the way around the zodiac to meet back up with it in Cancer a month later. Okay. So the waning moon is all about release, right? It's a time of waning. It's a time of letting go. It's a time of sometimes even banishing the things that no longer serve us. The waning moon is a really, really important part of the moon cycle because it helps us to let go of our expectations. It helps us to make time for and prioritize rest, right? So we spend half our lives approximately in the new and waxing energy, which is all about action and goals and momentum. And we also spend half our lives in the full and waning energy, which is about gratitude and rest and intuition. And we have to make time in our lives for both, which is a really, really powerful way to work with the moon cycle, not just for manifestation and setting goals, but also for taking care of ourselves. Now, the waning moon is associated with the element of earth. It's a very grounding time where we're really going within, taking the time to retreat and hibernate and nourish ourselves. And like the waxing moon, we can break the waning moon down into smaller cycles if that feels more accessible for you, or if you want to go deeper with it in that way. And the waning moon, we can break down into 3 or even 4 separate smaller cycles. So this is where we get that full 9 cycles of the moon. So the waning moon, we can break down into the waning gibbous, and it's a little blobby guy right after the full moon, the waning or last quarter moon when it's a half, the waning crescent moon when it's a crescent right before the new moon or shortly before the new moon. And then some witches also like to work with the dark moon. And there are lots of different definitions of the dark moon. This is the one additional phase I do often work with. And that's because I was actually born on a dark moon. So it feels very special to me. And so my definition of the dark moon, the way that I work with it, is that the dark moon is the last 2 or 3 days before the new moon. Or more accurately for me, it's the 2.5 days the moon spends in the sign before the new moon. So we have a new moon in Taurus. For me, the dark moon is the 2.5 days before that new moon that the moon spends in Aries. Okay. So the dark moon is really just like the peak of the waning moon. It's the very last vestiges of release and letting go before we set new intention. So these are the 9 complete cycles of the moon, or the 4 or 5 that I tend to work with and teach. Now, as I mentioned, we can work with these cycles for manifesting. We can work with them for self-care. We can work with them for magic. Or we can really just allow them to be markers in our lives, which in many ways is the most powerful option. In many ways, this is how we really practice true self-care. This is how we practice true intuitive work, where we are just allowing the moon and the planets to be a reflection of what's actually happening in our own lives. Now, you can also, in addition to working with and tracking the moon phases, you can certainly track the moon as it moves through each zodiac sign. And that's a really big part of my own practice. Now, a couple of specific moon phases that don't happen all the time, but are good to be aware of because there are special occasions when they do occur. Number 1 are blue moons, right? So the idea of a blue moon, something that happens once in a blue moon, right, is something that happens not very often. And that's because a true blue moon is quite rare. So a true blue moon is when we have 2 full moons in a row in the same zodiac sign. So this usually happens when we will have a full moon right at the very, very beginning of a zodiac sign. So 0 to 1 or 2 degrees of that sign. And then by the time the moon makes a complete cycle around the zodiac, the new moon, the sun is still in that same sign. So the new moon is again in that sign, but at the very end. So we might have a full moon in Cancer at 0 degrees. And then the next month we'll have another full moon in Cancer at 28 degrees. Now, the other definition of a blue moon is simply 2 full moons in the same calendar month, which has no cosmic significance. It is still relatively rare. It only happens once every few years, but it's not nearly as rare as a true astrological blue moon. Now, we also have the same phenomenon that happens with the new moon, and these are called black moons. So a black moon is 2 new moons in a row in the same sign. So we have a new moon at 0 degrees of Aries. We might then, the following month, have another new moon at 28 or 29 degrees of Aries. So when we have 2 new moons in a row, a black moon, the second one is called a black moon. The black moon is an opportunity to really double down on the intentions that we set at that first new moon in that same sign. So it's a really powerful opportunity for manifestation and for really doubling or tripling down on what we want and what we are calling in. A true blue moon, so that second full moon in the same sign, this is a really good opportunity to double down on our gratitude, to really focus on trusting our intuition, really opening up and receiving the messages and wisdom of that zodiac sign in a deeper way, right? Really peeling back the layers of what does this sign mean? What does it represent? What are its symbols? What are its goddesses, deities? What does this sign, what does this energy or archetype really have for me? What lessons and wisdom does it have to share with me? So blue moons and black moons happen. We have one like once every few years, once every several years, but only in the same sign. Honestly, I don't even know that math, how often they happen in the same sign. It's quite rare. So there are really beautiful opportunities or even almost kind of portals for us to step through. Now, the other important, relatively rare, or not super rare, but important, special moon phase, if you will, are, of course, eclipses. So we have a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse. We have pairs of them twice a year, and they typically happen in opposite zodiac signs. So normally, if we have a new moon in Aries that is a solar eclipse, then we'll also in that same month have a full moon in Libra, which is a lunar eclipse. Solar eclipses are always new moons, and lunar eclipses are always full moons. Now, eclipses are, whether or not we can see them, we still feel their power. So just as, you know, if it's a full moon night, but it's cloudy, it's still the energy of a full moon. And even if you can't see it, eclipses are the same way. So like solar eclipse, you know, you may only be able to see a solar eclipse in your area once every, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, right? Depending on where you're located. But even if you can't see it, the solar eclipse energy is still present. It's still active for you and in your area, even if it's not visible. So we do have solar eclipses and lunar eclipses twice a year, you know, in the same zodiac sign. So let's say new moon in Aries, full moon in Libra, new moon in Libra, full moon in Aries at the opposite end of the year. So we have two pairs of eclipses every 6 months. So they're not wildly rare, but they do tend to feel like they really shake things up. So you'll feel eclipses most acutely if they happen in signs that are really important in your chart. So if your sun, moon, rising, or north node are in the sign of the eclipse, or the sign of one of the two eclipses, then you're going to feel it most acutely. If a eclipse is happening in a sign that you don't have a lot going on in that sign in your chart, you may not feel it as impactfully, as personally. But eclipses are what we call eclipse season, the couple of weeks around these two eclipses that go together. They just tend to feel kind of slow, right? They feel like these portals. We often talk about them as portals of transformation. Things are being hidden and revealed and opened up to us during eclipse season. Now, the last area that I want to touch on in this very high level overview of what the heck is the moon phase is all about is your natal lunar astrology. So we all have the sun, the moon, and all of the planets somewhere in our astrological charts. And your moon sign or your natal moon sign is the sign that the moon was in when you were born. And this is really powerful information to have and to utilize. Your natal moon sign, and you can take it a step further by bringing in your natal moon house as well, which if you want to check that out, we have a really good episode from earlier this season all about how to read your birth chart. So be sure to check that episode out. But your natal moon sign and house tell you a lot about who you are in your deepest self, your most inner, emotional, intuitive self. The moon is your inner landscape. And so understanding your moon sign and house and the energies and archetypes that they represent is going to give you so much information about what you need in order to feel safe, supported, nourished, how to nurture yourself, how to practice self-care. It has to do with your intuition, how your intuition speaks through you. It has to do with your home and what makes you feel comfortable. Your moon sign is such an essential part of your personality and of who you are as a person. So if you have never looked deeply into your moon sign and house, I highly encourage you to do so. And another thing that you can work with in your natal chart is your moon phase, the moon phase that you were born under. So as I mentioned earlier, I was born on the dark moon. So I was born just about a day or two before the new moon. And the dark moon, right, is that peak of releasing energy. And that is a really very core essential theme in my life. The idea of having to release and let things go comes up over and over and over again for me. And knowing that that is just part of my energetic signature can be very affirming, right? Very validating that this isn't something that's happening to me. Rather, it's part of who I am. Someone born on the contrary, you know, someone born under the waxing moon might feel like they're always starting new things. They're always going after projects. They're always, you know, on the positive side, they have tons of motivation and momentum. On the shadow side, you know, maybe they feel like they're always burning themselves out. And having that understanding of what phase you were born under and how it impacts your personality can be, again, very, very validating and can give you tools to create balance in your life. Now, the last way that I highly recommend you work with your moon sign is through what's called your lunar return. So the lunar return is the 2.5 days every month when the moon returns to the sign it was in when you were born. And if you are into the techie, nerdy side of astrology like I am, you can actually cast what's called a lunar return chart. The website I recommend for this is astro.com. And this will give you a chart for the month to interpret and to help you understand the themes that may be coming up for you. But even if you are just simply aware that, okay, today is my lunar return, the moon is in my moon sign, and you make that day a space for self-expression and authenticity and self-care and nourishment, taking that one day or those 2 days for yourself each month, and really bringing your awareness, bringing your intuition to them can, in addition to the new and full moons, be a very powerful marker in the month and powerful marker of the passage of time and of your own personal and spiritual growth. So I know this was like a really 101 high level, just break it down overview, but I hope this was helpful. I feel like this episode was just packed with so many nuggets of useful information. So I hope you found that to be true. And if you are interested in working more with the moon phases, then I encourage you to sign up for my free on-demand masterclass. So I have a totally free class that you can sign up for on my website. You get instant access to it when you sign up for it. And the class is all about how to work with the moon phases in your real daily life, even when you have no time. So it's kind of about taking all this information that we're talking about in this episode, and really applying it to your life. How can you utilize the four moon phases? How can you utilize your natal moon sign and phase in your life in a practical way, really embodying them, bringing them in meaningfully into your real life so that it's not just abstract information, but you can really apply it and utilize it for your own growth and benefit. So click the link in the description of this episode and it'll take you to go put your email in to sign up for that free class. Like I said, it's on demand. You get access right away. It's totally free and it's such a good class. It's really going to go even deeper than we did in this episode. So I hope you enjoy the class. Thank you so much for another wonderful, successful season of the Empowered Modern Witches Show. And I will see you guys in a couple months for season 5.
As always, thanks for listening to the Empowered Modern Witches Show. I'm Tanae Stewart, the Witch of Lupin Hollow, and it's my pleasure to be your host. If you loved this episode, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Much love from Lupin Hollow.